Now, you may not know this, but today's actually set aside as a Children's Day. And as I look through the congregation this morning, I see Vera and Ethan. Well, they're both there. And Fleur, all three of you. Would you like to come and join me in the front? Come on. Let me come down here. Here we go. There's a balloon for you, and one for you, Vera, and one for you, Fleur. This hopefully is going to be a demonstration of something about forgiveness. So would you like to all turn around and face everybody? Now, when somebody says something cruel or nasty to you, it kind of goes inside and causes us to blow up a little bit. And how do you feel when somebody says something nasty or horrible to you? Do you feel angry a bit, maybe? You know that word bitter? Inside of you, there's bitterness. So what I'd like you to all do is, do you think you can blow a little bit of air into your balloon? Okay? Can you do that, Vera? They're, I think, quite strong balloons, so you may have to blow harder. I've also got one. Okay. So. Oh, like that. Can you do it? No? Okay. Well, would one of you like to hold this balloon? Any one of you? There we are. And keep it closed. Okay. So, what happens is when people say something ugly or nasty to us, that's what happens. We kind of, and what's inside of us? Anger and frustration. And then, can I have the balloon back again? Then we walk a little bit further down the corridor and somebody else steps out and says something nasty, and guess what happens? More. And the rest of the day goes by, and more people say things, and that anger and frustration blows in us. And then what happens eventually? Anyone guess? It pops! Now, I don't know if I can do this. Are you all right if I pop a balloon? No? No, rather don't. Okay. Is there? Okay, no. So, it bursts. So what does that mean to us? What happens when you get really, really cross? You burst. And do you say things to others that hurt them? Yeah. So they feel horrible now. You feel horrible. And it's a mess. So now Jesus teaches in the story that you just saw that we must forgive people. Okay? So what happens? When somebody says something nasty to us, that's all the thing that's inside of me, the anger. So what do? I forgive them and it's gone. But what happens the next time I meet that person and they say something nasty to me again? Can you guess what happens? There it is again. Until it gets bigger and bigger and then it bursts again. And we're angry and everybody is hurt and sore. So now comes the final thing. What does Jesus teach us? He teaches us to do this. Can any of you tie a knot in your balloon? Any of you? Can you do it? I'm going to try. Don't know if I can. But can you tell me, once you've got a knot in your balloon, what happens? Can you blow it up?
No,
you can't. So when somebody says something nasty to you, it doesn't go inside and blow up, does it? Because the Holy Spirit, God in us, helps us to forgive all the time. Okay, so what's the lesson for us? Boy and girls, we must forgive other people. We mustn't let it be like the balloon, blow up and then explode. Okay, I hope you understood something of that. I hope anybody understood anything. Bless you all. Thanks very much for coming up. You can go back now. Bless you. Oh, they're going out, Jackie. Bless him. Okay. The last couple of sermons have been about our relationship with God. Can you recall? God's desire is for us to be in an intimate relationship with him. We live in him, and he lives in us. And we spoke a little about being born again. When people come to faith in Jesus, that person is a new creation in Christ. They're not changed. They're not adjusted. The Bible says they're a new creation in Christ because of the power of God's love that's transformed that person's life. So this morning we're going to carry on looking at love, but one specific aspect of that love, and that is forgiveness. Now we saw that video a few minutes ago about the father forgiving his son, and that's a beautiful illustration of how God relates to us. So let me start by asking a couple of questions. How does God's forgiveness impact you and me? What does it mean for us? And then secondly, as Christians, how ought we to live showing the forgiveness of God as an example? So let's look at those two things. Firstly, what is God's forgiveness? How big is it? What does it mean to you? What does it mean to me? Well, that parable of the lost son says a lot about God's love and his forgiveness. So let's step into the parable for a moment. Put yourself in the father's shoes. Well, firstly, in that generation, the farm would have been something very precious to that man. He probably spent his entire life working that farm, developing it, because that was the means of support to the whole family. But he probably inherited it from his dad and the generation before. So the identity of that father was in the farm to a large extent. Now Ruth and I lived in Wales for a couple of years on a farm. And we can identify with that. Our landlord one day was sharing with me how brokenhearted they were in many ways because the younger generation didn't want to continue farming. So he and his father and his father's father had worked this farm for generations. Their identity was in the farm. And now his son came along and said to him, "Dad, I don't want anything to do with the farm. I want to go to Bristol to study, and I now want to be in computers." Now put yourself in that father's shoes for a moment. Wow, that's hard. Son, I wanted to give you this farm as an inheritance to continue the family's name, good work, whatever. But you've chosen to walk away from it. This parable is far worse. Because the son is coming to his father and saying, "Give me my inheritance now. Give it to me. I want to go away." So that sense of abandonment from his own son, and this, in essence, demand, "Give me my money, my inheritance, and I'm going to go away." Wow, that's harsh. That is heartbreaking. So how would you or I have responded if we were that father? What would I have said to my son? Well, sorry? On your bike. On your bike. Yeah. I may have spent some time reasoning with him. I may have argued with him. There's a fair chance I may have kind of chased him off the farm in anger. Probably the very, very last thing I would have done is what we heard in the parable. Honestly. Would I have looked on my son with compassion and thought, "Wow, yes, here's your inheritance, off you go. I don't know what's going to happen to you. But There we go. Highly unlikely. Yet look at the Father and then step into God's shoes as He looks at us. Because every one of us here this morning was like that young son. In my life, there was a time when I'd heard about God, and what did I say to God? No, thank you. I want to do my own thing. I actually think I have a far better plan for my life than you have. And what did God do? Did He get angry? Despondent? Did He wash His hands of me? No. As with you, He would have done what the Father did in that parable. He would have been scanning the horizon, looking for you and looking for me. In essence, beckoning us to come to Him. Why? Because He loves us so deeply. And then take note of what's said in the parable. While the young son was far off, the father spotted him. Why? Because he just happened to glance in that direction? No, because he was scanning the horizon. And here's the incredible thing. After the son, having taken his inheritance and run away and spent it and squandered it, the father runs to him. And when he gets to his son, embraces him, kisses him. These are expressions of deep, deep love. Do you know how deep the Father's love is for you? Well, listen to the parable. God, the Holy Spirit, speaking to you this morning, and He's speaking to me, and He's saying, my love for you is immeasurable. Just like in the parable. But you see, it goes further. He gets to his son, who then confesses to his dad, you know, I've sinned against you and against heaven. What does the father say to him? In essence, come, we're going to celebrate. Here's a robe, a ring for your finger, sandals on your feet. We're going to find a fattened calf and slaughter that. Do you know why? Precious son, because you were lost, but now you found. You were dead, but now you're alive. God says that to you now this morning. Don't forget about my great love for you. It's like the father and the son in the parable. God's love for us is so deep. And all He wants to do is be in that loving relationship with us. So the fact that one time in our life we ignored Him, in fact ran away from Him, He doesn't just let us go and do our own thing, because He has a good, pleasing, and perfect plan for your life and for mine. And He longs to be in that loving relationship, in that embrace, the warmth of His love, so that we can be transformed more into the likeness of His precious Son, Jesus. That's His plan for all of us. It comes in different ways, and His plans for you are not the same as mine. But He's our loving Father, and He loves us with an immeasurable love. So having looked at that very briefly, take note of the words that are used in the parable. He doesn't just say, find a coat and put it on the son. No, a robe. Find a ring to put upon his finger. That expresses how deep the father's love is for the son. Put sandals on his feet. Don't just go and get any animal and slaughter it. Find a fattened calf. Everything's, we would say, over the top. But what is God the Father saying? Am I merely pleased and happy that my son's home? No, I'm overjoyed. So the day that any one of us came to salvation in Christ, was the Father happy? No, he was overjoyed. In fact, I'm going to read to you a scripture that tells of what happens when somebody comes to faith. Luke chapter 15, verse 7. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. See, I don't believe we even start to comprehend the depth of God's love for us. It's shown throughout the Bible, but this is a precious picture of his forgiveness. He forgives us for being rebellious and wanting to do our own thing. And when we come to him, he doesn't beat us on the head and say, remember this, that, and the other. He says, confess your sins. You're forgiven. Because I love you. So the next part of this message is, so now that we know something of that, how should you and I live as Christians? Well, that early kind of demonstration is a bit of what we should be doing. When people offend us or hurt us, the one thing we must not do is bottle it up inside and just get more and more bitter and angry and twisted about things. No. We need to take the approach of God the Father, as we saw in the parable. Get to the stage that when people say things that are hurtful or harmful, deflect them. And remember, we can't do this in our own strength. If I wake up this morning and say, I, Brian, am going to forgive everybody that says anything horrible to me, then I'm doing that in my own strength. Is that going to work? No. I might cope with it for a while, but eventually I'm going to explode. Now, the only way forward is for the Holy Spirit dwelling in me to help me to be forgiving like Jesus. So that when people say those things, it doesn't affect me. I don't take it on board. I deflect it, whatever term you'd like to use. It doesn't become part of me. So that's God's message to us. Why is that important? Because we are called to show the world God. Don't put your light under the table. Don't cover it. Let it shine so people can see Jesus. They can see the love of God. And just for a moment, think what happens. When we're in an environment which is toxic, is the word they use a lot now, where everybody's arguing and fighting, and we come along and we usher in a peace. And where we forgive others and don't respond in anger, what do you think happens? Well, from personal experience over the years, the climate changes. Why? Because God's at work. When we carry that Holy Spirit of reconciliation and love and joy and peace and forgiveness, others see that and experience it, and it changes them as well. It's a powerful ministry when we forgive other people that have hurt us. So God's message for us this morning is twofold. I love you with a love that is so deep, it is immeasurable. And I'm constantly looking out for you. And remember, even those who are Christians here this morning, even when we drift from God, and as the Australians say, go walkabout, does he just abandon us? No. He's constantly drawing us back to him. It's not only about salvation, it's about our walk with God. When we offend and hurt him, what does he say? Come back to me. Confess your sins. I love you. And I want to restore our broken relationship. So forgiveness is central to this morning's message. It's an essential part of God's love for us. And in closing, I want to give you a short quote by somebody called William A. Ward. Just think about this for a moment. Forgiveness is a funny thing. It warms the heart and cools the sting. Amen.